Welcome to Conscious Curiosity SD, where successful San Diego leaders share their stories of leading beyond profit and are using the influence of business to positively change the companies and communities we all work and live in. I'm your host, Jeff Blanton from Jailbreak Leadership. We unlock the power of organizations and teams to overcome tough challenges, seize new opportunities, and turn bold ideas into real-world results through strategic planning, retreats, and team workshops. We want to thank our collaborative community of business organizations, the Better Business Bureau, Conscious Capitalism, Cause San Diego, and Be Local. We're all focused on impacting our community of San Diego through the work they do as business leaders. Welcome to the show. Today on the show, we are here to talk about the OG of B Corps. That's right, the one and only original B Corp certified company, Untours. On the show today is the director of Untours Foundation, Sarah Payne. Sarah, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me here.
We speak a lot about B Corp certification since Be Local, a community of certified B Corps here in San Diego, was one of our collaborative partners. Today, we get to take a bit of a deep dive on the origin story. What does it mean and what does it take to become a B Corp certified company? With an expert on the process, both from her work with Untours, but also the company she co-founded, Allume. You ready to get started?
Absolutely. Let's get into it.
Well, obviously, you've dedicated your career to this. What's the backstory? Why are you doing this?
I have. Yeah. Why am I doing this?
And the fact you just told me you get to travel around the world. Other than that,
this is true. Untours does send me to some great places. But I first got into this work when I was doing my MBA in economic development. This was about a decade ago.
And clock is ticking.
It is, right? And before doing this MBA, I was really interested in just economic development. So I was really considering career in international development, was very focused on poverty alleviation, but envisioned myself working at a nonprofit or some kind of governmental organization. And I was going to do a regular master's and then saw that this program also had an MBA. I was like, okay, that would probably make me more hireable. And that is a bit more of a value add. So let's go for the MBA. Fully not intending to go into business, actually, with that. But in my first semester, took a course in social entrepreneurship. And during that course, I learned about B Corps. I learned about the mechanics of social enterprise. And it really hit home to me that there are entrepreneurs out there that go into business specifically to address social and environmental and economic issues. And they just use business as the vehicle to do that. They use a for-profit model, which is actually in some ways more sustainable. So for some reason, those things just really clicked in a way that they hadn't before whenever I had been exposed to business principles. And I really realized that if we want systems change in this world, we need to engage the private sector. It's the biggest, you know, kind of economic driver when we look at all those different areas, when we look at nonprofits and governments, we look at business. And so we need to engage it. Business is going to have an impact. The question is it going to be positive or negative? And so from that point on, I was really especially struck by B Corps because what they do is integrate that commitment to impact into their very business models and into their governance, their legal entities through benefit corporation governance. And so these companies are now bound to maximize stakeholder value, not shareholder value.
Which is key.
It's considering everyone that is affected by and affects your business, your suppliers, your customers, the natural environment. And so that becomes a legal commitment, which is very compelling. The business is then responsible for creating those positive impacts that it sets out in its bylaws. And so I finished the rest of my MBA. When I got to the end of the program, I was looking at all my LinkedIn contacts and who was connected with B-Lab and noticed that one of my undergrad professors was working at B-Lab, which is the nonprofit behind the B Corp movement. And so I reached out and said, hey, you know, I'd love to get involved with B-Lab. Love what you're up to. He was actually at the time about to leave and work.
There's an opening.
Yeah. Well, so actually, plot twist, he was leaving to start a program that was operationalizing the B Corp framework in a specific local community, which was also intriguing to me because I had kind of learned that all change is local, right? I'm someone that I tend to think in systems. I tend to think about the world and what we need to see. But really, it's about proving out these concepts in communities and with people to see, do they actually work? And so he sold me on his pitch to not go to B-Lab and to instead start this program called Measure What Matters. It was something at the time that B-Lab was promoting in communities across the country. And so I went and did that. And It was an economic development nonprofit that, in addition to offering training and financing resources for entrepreneurs, also offered impact consulting, which was this idea of taking the B Corp framework, applying it to these businesses, and really putting it to work and helping businesses to better measure and manage their impact, because you can only manage what you measure, as the saying goes. So I got into that work, and through my time at Assets, this nonprofit that I was working at in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, I worked with almost 30 companies to go through the assessment, to integrate the principles of impact business into their companies, and to go on and become certified B Corps. So that was kind of the deep dive.
So is that one and the same assessment then that you would take to become a B Corp?
Yes, exactly.
Okay, so you're really showing people, how do you actually make this happen?
Because
it's not easy.
No, it's not.
Yeah, we want to talk about it a little bit, right?
Yeah,
it's a challenge.
Yeah. It's a lift. It's definitely a commitment to do. And it's better not to try it alone either. And so we were really coming alongside and helping entrepreneurs to, you know, take this assessment that can be hundreds of questions and also really find value in it and operationalize that. So that was my first four into, you know, really deep diving into B Corps. At the time, I actually was also balancing. Later on, I got a part-time internship at B Lab to learn more about the standards themselves. And that was a really eye-opening experience as well, to spend a few months at B Lab, learning the ins and outs of the standards, how they're applied, how their team develops the standards, how they hold companies to account during their verification process. So that was super interesting. And then after I left Assets and I moved to the Untours Foundation, which is the owner of Untours, the world's first B Corp. And so obviously
that through line
was continuing.
How'd that come to be?
Yeah. So the CEO of the organization that I was at had moved on a couple of years into my working at that economic development nonprofit. He went to work for Untours and got in touch a few years later. They were looking for help with strategic planning, and I became involved. And was again really struck by this company that, as it turns out, really pioneered the B Corp movement, as I learned about it. So that is, like, you know, an entire origin story. I'd love to tell it, a little story hour maybe. But Untours was started back in the 1970s by an entrepreneur named Hal Tausig. And he was an unwilling entrepreneur initially. He met his wife and they moved to a ranch out in Colorado. And that was the thing he was going to do with his life, you know, live on the land, be a cattle rancher. It didn't go very well. And as a last ditch effort, they bought a bull to try to, you know, keep the cattle farm going. And it was sterile. So that didn't,
That didn't go too well.
Yeah. So at that point, he decided to move back east. He moved to the Philadelphia area and pursue a PhD and got very involved in education. And as part of that process, wrote a book called The Shoestring Sabbatical. Bit of a tongue twister there. But his whole idea was, how can you help people to do sabbatical on a lighter budget and also see the world and get everything out of it that you want to? So he tried starting that as a business then, and he found that he was actually attracting travelers, not professors going on sabbatical, but he basically stumbled upon this great idea for a travel company. The whole model was to take people to, especially places in Europe, was how the company started, and really experiences these cultures firsthand. So to stay in apartments, to stay in homes for a week or two at a time, and practice slow travel, which is much more
the original Airbnb.
Exactly. That's exactly it. And so really to, you know, like, know the shop owners' names where you get your coffee every morning, and to just move very intentionally and thoughtfully through a destination rather than just dropping in and consuming.
Entirely different experience.
Totally. And it was great. He actually, you know, found resonance with that idea. People wanted to do that because it is a great idea. So the company started becoming profitable. Hal, however, and this is why I say he was maybe an unwilling entrepreneur. He was entrepreneurial, but he had taken a vow of poverty. So he didn't want to keep the profits that the company was generating. And he tried a few ideas. One of his first ideas was he divided the profits between everyone who traveled with the company that year and sent them a check for like a few dollars.
A little give back.
Yeah.
Thanks for participating.
Right. It was a great idea, but not very material to, you know, each individual traveler. Yeah. And then he tried a kind of a radical model at the time of profit sharing with employees. But then when travel dried up and profits dried up for the company during the Gulf Wars, staff wasn't very happy about that, that they didn't have, you know, a steady salary. So finally, Hal decided to start a foundation. And he really didn't want to continue this sort of model where you have your business on the one hand, you have a foundation on the other where the profits go and they're totally separated. And the foundation is, you know, making grants and doing all that kind of typical foundation work. He wanted to do something that was very different. So he set up a foundation, but then channeled 100% of Untours' profits into the foundation to become impact investing capital. This was at the time he learned about Muhammad Yunus doing microlending and was very compelled by that idea. So he wanted to start this foundation, really not as a typical charity, more around this empowering, this not a hand out, but a hand up, giving capital to entrepreneurs that could use it, that didn't have access to traditional capital and where it would really make a difference. So this was doing, you know, quote, impact investing long before that term ever came to be. This was in the early 90s that Hal started this model. And it turned some heads. The company had a pretty, you know, again, innovative model. And ultimately, Ontours was nominated for an award as the most generous company in America by the Paul Newman Foundation. So Hal went to New York for the award ceremony. And just kind of a side note, the awards were being held at the Waldorf Astoria. He showed up on the day of the awards and they're like, Hal, where are you staying? We saw you didn't check in. And he said, I'm staying at the youth hostel and I'll be staying there until everyone has a roof over their heads. So he was a very kind of
a little
like,
different view of the world.
Than he was very provocative and not afraid to show that either. So he ended up winning the award. So Ontours was awarded the most generous company in America. And at this point, simultaneous to all of this, the co-founders of B-Lab were looking around for examples of businesses that were kind of paving a different way for what it means to be a good business. And they met up with Hal and they started a conversation. And as they were talking about their thoughts around what that could look like, a business done differently, they were really inspired by Ontours. And
so at this point, they hadn't really created their standards and all that yet.
No, not at all. Early on. Yeah. Okay. They had actually just, the co-founders had exited another business that they had grown to be very socially impactful, very environmentally responsible. They sold the company and watched as all of that was stripped away. So they were very jaded by kind of the business paradigm to date. And so they were very interested in stakeholder capitalism and the things that Hal was doing. And Hal was the one that really encouraged specifically Jay Cohen Gilbert, one of the three co-founders, to put the ideas down on paper and start building out what this could look like. And what that became was the B Corp certification. So the story is so interesting to me because it drives home a lot of key points for me. The first being that I've always been someone who is like, talking about purpose and leadership, and it feels kind of soft to me. But this is an example of one person just had the audacity to follow his values so closely and act them out so authentically that it caused these incredible ripples, right? He was just building a company the way he thought it should be. He wasn't out to change the world at the beginning, but now this, you know, humble company inspired this movement of now 10,000 businesses strong around the world that are all looking to redefine success in business, which is incredible, right? So that's the, you know, the kind of first thing that sticks out to me about that. And the second is just, you know, from there, it was really a core group of founding B Corps that really latched on to this idea. They were all social enterprises. And it's such an interesting case study in how this can happen, right? You have an initial leader and then a core group of people that get the vision. And it was enough to get the ball rolling. Ontours was the first company to go through the standards and become certified. But then there were a host of others. And it's really incredible to now look back on that. It's been a couple decades and see the incredible growth of B Corps and what it means. Just this year, B-Lab updated its standards in a pretty radical way. And so, yeah, it's just wild for me to even still think about that, you know, Ontours was something that really helped spark a lot of that. And really, we owe it all to a sterile bull.
Exactly. If that had worked out, this never would have happened. Yeah, that's funny. So maybe share a little bit about what you're up to now with the business.
Yeah. So Ontours Foundation is still doing 100% mission-aligned investing through our endowment. And to date, we've invested over $11 million to over 400 businesses around the world.
So it's still kind of microfinancing is kind of the focus or?
Yeah, it's kind of moved beyond microfinancing and into larger investments as well. Both equity and low interest loans, flexible debt is sort of our niche, really in providing capital to entrepreneurs that otherwise face barriers to accessing it. We invest all over the world in different countries, so not just in the United States, although our home area, Philadelphia, is very close to our heart and we've done a lot of investments there. In 2023, we launched a fund that is specific to travel and tourism called the Reset Tourism Fund, really kind of bridging our origins as a travel company with Ontours with, you know, our decades of experience investing in social enterprise. So kind of marrying those two things. And, you know, really, I'm not obviously from the travel industry, but I've learned a lot about how it can be an amazing tool for transformation, both for travelers and the host communities that they visit, and also for the environment. Regenerative tourism is such an incredible area. Again, you see entrepreneurs.
Wow, that's a new term for me.
Yes, regenerative tourism.
What does that actually mean?
Yeah, it's all about really moving beyond sustainability. So the idea is that sustainability is good, but if the goal is to sustain what we have now, it's not going to be enough to meet head on the crises that we face. So the idea of being regenerative is to actually leave a place better off than you found it, to have this destination positive impact. So that could be an eco resort that goes in and plants more endemic species. It also overlaps obviously into the social impact area. We know social and environmental justice are interlinked. So, you know, it's providing local jobs to people that, you know, maybe before there wasn't a lot of economic activity. So regenerative tourism kind of encapsulates all of that, providing economic benefits, doing it in an equitable and just way. So going where you're invited and where these communities want it. That's a very important pillar that we look at, is that idea of local agency and self-determination.
So if I wanted to book a local trip, Sarah, to some place, I mean, what would that look like for me? I mean, give me a story.
Sure. Well, you could book with UnTours.
Right. So I book with UnTours. What kind of tour? What are my options? I mean, do I show up? Do I go plant trees? What am I doing?
So with UnTours, the idea is actually it's independent supported travel is what we call it. So when you go to a place, you have an UnGuide that is there as a local resource. They welcome you, give you some options, but they're not really a tour guide in the typical sense. They're not going to show you around and handhold you. You're there to explore the destination with support, obviously. And so, you know, we recommend a lot of experiences, including impact experiences, which can differ based on wherever you're located. And, you know, we're actually really trying actively to tie more of our investments into that experience. The overlap of the destinations doesn't quite align. UnTours is still mostly focused on Europe, and we do a lot of investments, particularly in the Global South. But maybe a non-UnTours example, because I love to hold this one up as sort of the poster child of what we're looking for with our investments. It's an eco lodge called Kapawi in the Ecuadorian Amazon. So if you were to go and you're looking for this kind of very authentic experience at a community where they have sought this out, this is a great example. Basically, these indigenous communities back in the 90s, when a lot of development was happening in Ecuador, specifically through extractive industries, they gathered together and said, we don't want this as our future. We are actually going to pursue sustainable ecotourism as a way to generate economic development in our communities. So they had some outside capital from someone who exited after the lodge was up and running, but they started this 100% now solar powered, 100% indigenous owned enterprise that is, you know, pretty remote to get to. And the idea is this, like, disconnecting to reconnect with yourself and with people who are both different and very alike to you at the same time, and with nature and all of these things. So for that experience, for Kapawi, it's not necessarily this typical model of, like, you know, voluntourism is the term, where you're volunteering while you're doing a tourism experience. It is much more about, like, what you also need as a traveler. And I think, you know, what we're finding broadly, just to step back, a lot of travelers do want these impactful experiences and are finding that they are personally transformative. So it's not just that you go to somewhere and you plant trees or plant mangroves to give back. It's kind of this natural outflowing, I think, of the impulse that we all have to be of service, especially in places around the world where, you know, we find ourselves. So there are a lot of other examples in our portfolio of investments, but I love to talk about that one because, again, I think it's so critical when we look at tourism. Are we going places where the people have welcomed us and want us to be there?
That's a good start.
Yes. Yeah.
Here we are.
I know. And it's pretty basic.
We're here to take over. I guess it's going to be lofty, but trust me. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. So I've been learning a lot about tourism. As we mentioned at the top, I have the privilege to go to London next week and attend some conferences. So we're very much out there trying to spread the word of, you know, what these investments can look like to really support tourism entrepreneurs.
I understand London's a very hot spot for B Corps based on my interview with Abraham.
Yes. Yeah. London has a lot of B Corps and they've really resonated with that idea.
So why do you think that became such a hub? We'd love to see San Diego be a hub. So what's it take to create that?
I would too. Yeah, it's interesting. I mean,
how do we do this here, Sarah?
Yeah. Well, so I've been part of, when I was, again, at that nonprofit in Lancaster, where I helped, you know, almost 30 companies do the certification. It really takes people on the ground with a knowledge of the framework and then operationalizing it. So B Lab UK has always been very active, and there are a lot of B Corp consultants in that area. And so I think that's a big piece of providing the tools for companies to actually do this, and the awareness. Obviously, awareness is the first thing, right? Letting companies know there's this thing called B Corps.
I want to do it. Yeah.
Yeah, it helps you integrate your values with your business operations and model. It's a great tool. And then you do kind of the deeper dive of education and providing those tools to actually do it. So it does take this kind of ecosystem approach. So here in San Diego, I think we have a lot of those pieces. And there are obviously so many organizations around San Diego that are passionate about using business for good. And, you know, it's wonderful to be connected with a lot of those that from, you know, the Be Local San Diego perspective. So I think we have the pieces in place. It's just talking a lot more about how can this actually be beneficial for your company, getting to entrepreneurs, breaking it down for them. Often it's just, you know, a matter of they don't know about it. And then how easy is it going to be to implement when you're also busy running your business?
Right. That's the big challenge.
Yeah.
I mean, sitting here in the seat I'm in, I think we're like up to 90 shows. And I sit here and I interview all these really interesting business leaders that are, again, looking at, you know, the stakeholder versus the shareholder, purpose-driven kinds of leaders. But they tend to be like within their own little bubble. You know, it's like, here's this great thing they're doing in their company. They may be giving back in some interesting ways, leading their employees in great ways, but it's all within the kind of the bubble. Yeah. And so one of my big things is collaboration. You know, how do we actually get, you know, more people engaged and communicating and talking and saying, how do we actually elevate this? That seems to be a big challenge for us.
Absolutely. And I think there's obviously so many areas where value could be provided amongst that ecosystem, but you're right. It is hard to sometimes look up from the day to day and take that kind of like landscape scan. I mean,
I'm a consultant, so I kind of get to do my own little thing, or my wife runs a nonprofit, so she's an operator. It's like, yeah, it's a whole different world, you know, running a business day to day.
Yeah. Sure. And so I think, you know, we do, for those of us who are, you know, maybe in this space and working with B Corps, we know these frameworks, you also have to make it accessible, right? To busy business owners. If you want this to be something that will scale and really show them like why it's worth the time. Because
I think most people look at that and they just get very intimidated. I personally am. Hey, Jeff, you should be a B Corp. I'm like, I don't think so.
Yeah. I mean, it's a big process and it's a big commitment, but having someone to walk you through it, you know, is obviously helpful in, you know, breaking down some of those barriers. But my experience has been really every entrepreneur that takes the time to get into the assessment, they learn something new. They're usually, or always, values-driven entrepreneurs that want to create a positive impact. And they inevitably find areas in the assessment, they're asked a question of like, do you practice this? Do you do this at your business? And it's like, no. And I didn't realize that that was something that I could do to enhance the impact of my business. For example, the B Impact Assessment asks about where do you purchase your goods and services from? Who are your suppliers? And how many of them are underrepresented or women or have certifications? So you know that their impact is positive. And that's an amazing lever to use, right? Like, when I think about, interestingly, it's kind of nerdy, but when I think about supply chain, right? I mean, if you're a B Corp, there should be B Corps up and down your income statement as your suppliers, right? You should be working with them. That is that kind of like ecosystem approach so that when you're, for example, looking for some marketing support, you reach out to a marketing B Corp as one way to support one another, right? So I'd love to see more of that happen here in San Diego for sure.
Yeah, because it kind of guarantees at some level, you know who you're dealing with.
Yeah, absolutely.
I shared this once before. I was looking at a supplement, Trifala, right? It's like some bizarre thing from India, some plants or whatever. Not you're going to go down to your local CVS and get, right? So I go online to buy and all of a sudden I find this B Corp company, right? And I'm always a little suspect of these guys that make supplements, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, all the things you hear. But it's like all of a sudden I felt like completely comfortable going, these guys are B Corp. I mean, you know, they're doing a high standard of product here.
Exactly. So. Yeah. I mean, it really is like that B Corp logo is a seal of trust. Honestly,
truly.
It makes it really easy for consumers. And as you know, we're saying for other business owners to be like, this is a good product. It's already been verified for all of these, you know, impact standards. I mean, and truly having been at B Lab and seeing this process in action, they dive really deep into understanding your business and to making sure it's up to snuff. So it's not easy to get, but I will say if you're an impact driven business, you're probably doing a lot of the things that B Lab is looking for already without maybe leading with that, or maybe sometimes it's just a matter of formalizing that. So I've seen that a lot of businesses that are intimidated, but you get into it and the principles are aligned.
Tracking it or measuring it. Yeah.
Yeah. The practices, maybe there needs to be some formalization or some tightening, but yeah, I've seen that a number of times as well. And especially here in San Diego, I do think, again, we have so many mission and values driven entrepreneurs that it is probably a natural fit. You know, if, you know, we can help entrepreneurs make the space to sit down and work through it again in community.
Yeah. And it's not just about your customers, it's about your employees too. Like people, you know, want to come work at companies like that have a B Corp certification.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, they know you're doing some great things.
Yeah.
I had a chance to facilitate an event here not too long ago with AutoCAD. And so I had a whole bunch of senior business leaders, international folks. And social responsibility was like on the list of things we talked about. Yeah. And it was sort of interesting. It was almost like we have to do this because of our employees was really the comment. You know, if we don't have the right vendors and all that, our employees will walk.
Yeah.
So the next generations are going, hey, we want to start to do this thing right. We're tired of watching the world burn. So.
Absolutely. And I think as things like B Corp has made that more visible to people, I think it's not just the younger generations. I think we all want to integrate our lives in that way. But the models just weren't as prevalent until recently.
But I won't say all, but the majority. Sure.
Maybe it's generous,
there's a few people that say, what? Bottom line, do what?
Yeah, it's true. No, it's true. But I think the interesting thing, though, is that now people have actually realized they've listened to all this research around that it actually helped your bottom line to be integrating all of these socially responsible practices. So that's kind of the very interesting, like we've come full circle on the argument. So some of those people that maybe were skeptical are actually like, wait, maybe now this is a way to create value. And that's where we actually are now getting into greenwashing and goodwashing and all of that. So there are a lot of dynamics, obviously, that we have to keep a lookout for as people, you know, seek to be opportunistic.
Yeah, I haven't been always holistic. I've always been much more about the employee. Like, I just find it really disturbing that the majority of folks show up and don't find work meaningful, something like 80%, according to Gallup.
And we spend so much of our lives working.
I mean, it's an atrocity, in my opinion, right? But from a business perspective, having people showing up, going, I like to work here. I'm excited to be here. I'm willing to give you more than just trading time for money. I mean, how can you not win with that, right?
No, so
not tapping into that just seems absurd to me.
Yeah.
It's just a win-win-win for everybody.
It is. Yeah. And just that sense of being connected to a bigger movement too. I think that is so powerful. You know, if you're a B Corp, you might not be doing all these other things that other B Corps are doing, but you're part of that same movement. So you know that, you know, in some way you are tied into that work, which is just a great feeling. You know, we all want to belong, and I think we all want to belong in positive spaces.
Yeah. So tell me this a little bit about the other business, the one you co-founded, Allume. What's that all about?
So Allume, I co-founded back in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. And the focus there was to make sustainability tools accessible and practical for entrepreneurs, specifically from underrepresented backgrounds. You know, as we've been talking about, it is very difficult to be managing your business and to be thinking about your impact performance. And so Allume really exists to make these concepts and tools more meaningful, to work alongside underrepresented entrepreneurs to work through them, and also just to take inspiration from those underrepresented entrepreneurs and their experiences and to really listen to them and hear their wisdom of, you know, how they prioritize these things, what makes sense to them, and kind of keep us all aligned. So yeah, with Allume, I've, you know, done some B Corp consulting there as well. And Allume has a pricing model that allows for subsidization for, you know, clients, for example, that might not be able to afford full price. Again, we're really trying to make these tools more accessible. And I co-founded that company with a really amazing entrepreneur who, you know, she just has such a passion for entrepreneurship, which, again, I'm not someone actually that would consider myself an entrepreneur, but ever since working with entrepreneurs, you know, starting with working on the B Impact Assessment with them, it's just so truly impressive to me. People that see a need in the world and say, I can fix that. Like, I can totally do something about that. That impulse is so incredible to me because obviously I can look around and see a lot of issues, but then
you're doing that.
It's true. I know sometimes I feel like I'm an accidental entrepreneur maybe. And I kind of like to be an intrapreneur as well. But yeah, it's such an amazing thing to see so many people that have that same impulse and just really wanting to support them, lift them up, give them the tools, make things like this accessible to them. Yeah, I could go on and on about, you know, some of the entrepreneurs that I've come across and the things that they're trying to do and the things that they are doing in the world to make it better. It's really the best of humanity.
So you started earlier saying things have to start local. Mm-hmm. You're part of Be Local here, the local organization for the B Corps on the board. So let's talk about that a little bit. I know Abraham's got some visions for things. So how do we make this move forward? What do we got to do? What's your thoughts?
Yeah, I love chatting with Abraham, our board chair. He is someone who, when I first moved to San Diego almost 2 years ago, and I ran into the Be Local San Diego crew actually up in Vancouver at a B Corp retreat for everyone. So that was kind of a funny experience of getting involved. I was just attending the conference and ran into someone. We're chit-chatting and, hey, where are you from? I'm from San Diego. And he says, no, you're not. I know everyone from San Diego. You can't be from San Diego. And so I was like, no, I just moved here. So I got connected in with the Be Local San Diego crew. And yeah, talking, especially with Abraham, it was a very refreshing perspective on B Corp. Because at that point, like, I've been in this work for 5 years. I've seen how it, like, can be difficult to roll this out as a movement and get it to be adopted. And there are so many questions now around greenwashing and just all of this stuff. And Abraham was just so refreshing in how he thought about it, and just a very, you know, positive way of thinking about, I think people will want this. I think people here really want to see this. So of course that, you know, led to more conversations with him, and I eventually joined the board just this past January. I think, as we were saying, I think a lot of the pieces that I believe that we need are here. When you see the landscape of organizations like Conscious Capitalism, like Business for Good, like, you know, CauseCon, like all of these amazing things that are already happening here in San Diego, I think in some ways, in terms of B Corp specifically, it's about getting these partners to all align on realizing that this is an incredible tool that we can all stand behind, right? And it's not just to go out and make little B Corp disciples and turn all these companies into B Corps, because it is an investment, as we've talked about. And it's honestly, it's not for everyone. But the idea is that the tools that it uses, the B Impact Assessment Framework, is so valuable, again, in helping entrepreneurs to identify gaps in their business and to improve their impact. And the new standards are actually in some ways more clear than ever, because they focus on 5 specific impact topics that are simply things that every business should be thinking about if you want to be a good business, good for your employees, as we've discussed, you know, good for aligning your values with your operations. And so it's a really helpful tool that I would love to see.
Can you share those top 5?
Sure. Yeah. So fair work is one of them. Also justice, equity, diversity, and inclusion. Human rights, environmental circularity and stewardship, climate action, purpose and stakeholder government, collective action. I've lost count. That might be 6, or maybe there's another one. But it's all of these things that it's a playbook. It's, you know, if you want to be a good business, here are the things that you need to do. And it makes it very clear. So as a business owner, you can then decide how you want to engage with it, right? And assess, okay, well, how am I doing in terms of the quality of my jobs? When you look at that fair work and at the JEDI sections and human rights, gives you a framework to evaluate that. And then to be honest with yourself and improve in ways that are aligned with your business. So that's something that's free. It's like the world's best holistic impact management tool, and it's completely free. So I'd love to see, you know, more of the partners here, you know, getting companies on this tool, talking about it, talking about what the topics are, even like zooming out and taking one topic at a time. Like, let's say we really want to focus on how we can collectively address climate action here. That's one of the topics in the B Impact Assessment, and it provides a roadmap. And I think we're already doing some of this stuff, you know, at the board. Our board members have a lot of interconnections across the San Diego community. So we're really excited to do more events in partnership with other organizations. But yeah, I think it's really, again, I see it as this engagement funnel with awareness at the very top. And the next layer is education and equipping people with the tools. So we just recently had our first B Corp 201, which is sort of the next level of B Corp. So we have monthly happy hours through B Local San Diego, and you kind of get the B Corp 101. You can talk to people like, what is this thing if you're new to it? And the idea of rolling out the B Corp 201s is to provide that next level. So when we did this just earlier in the month, it was looking at these new standards, for example, and what do they mean if you want to be a B Corp? So that's that education layer. And then, you know, the next layer down is empowering towards certification, if that's the goal that you have. And I actually, earlier this year, co-founded another business called B School.
So you're not an entrepreneur.
No, of course not. And I hate free time. And so I co-founded this business with actually 2 other board members. One of them is Abraham, the other one's Sam Mazzio. And we started B School.
Past guest.
Yeah, great guys. We all have this vision for operationalizing these concepts here. And so B School is another, it's a B Corp consultancy and broader impact consultancy. And really, you know, we decided to do that because there have to be people here that will actually help these companies and come alongside them and do the consulting work to operationalize the B Impact Assessment if that is where you're at. So you learn about it, you become aware about it, you learn more about the tool, and then you say, okay, now how do I do this? And so we wanted to provide, again, some of those supports to be able to do that.
You guys are available.
Yes, we are available.
So what do you call yourselves?
B School.
B School. All right.
Yeah.
Make sure we put a link in the pod here for you guys.
Awesome. Thanks.
Love that.
Yeah.
So this is all great stuff. We're also kind of in an environment where people are kind of putting in all these kinds of things and somehow saying they're bad, right? It's like, we don't want any more diversity. We're not worried about the climate, right? We got some crazy things. So, you know, what's your thoughts and comments on that?
So many. In terms of DEI, I think there's a lot of confusion about what that actually means. You know, some people seem to think that DEI commitments are, you know, illegal. It's like, no, I mean, it's really just about making sure that everyone has access to opportunities. It's not about selecting one group over another. So it's a very interesting thing where, to me, it feels a little bit like intentional misunderstanding, because I think we can agree that all these things make our business better. When you are making yourselves available to the best applicants, and that's the thing, right? You're actually trying to widen the lens rather than narrow it in. You're trying to make sure that everyone has access to your job postings that can go through your process in a fair way. Like, you'd get better talent that way, in my opinion. And of course, when you talk about inclusion and injustice, as we mentioned, everyone wants to belong. All of us have this desire to, we want to find a space where it's okay to be here. Like, that to me is the core of belonging. And that should be something that's a priority for every business, because employee engagement, as we've referenced, is so key. It's so much more expensive to replace an employee than it is to retain them. Sure. So like, there's a business case to this. It's not just like the moral argument. There's a business case. And the same thing goes for the climate. It's like, we all need this thing to not be on fire in order to operate our businesses.
You do live here.
We live here. You know, we need the roads for our transportation in our businesses, for our supply chain. I mean, we need the earth to exist, but we also need it to be healthy in order to have a good business environment. So I think a lot of times, and I try to take a balanced view, but I think a lot of times it does feel like this intentional missing the point. And it tends to become politicized when, to me, this is common sense.
Right. We're trying to find an enemy of some sort, I think.
Right.
It's good for politics. What are you optimistic about?
So truly, I mean, not to harp on it too much, but from where I sit, I get to talk with so many entrepreneurs on a daily basis in my full-time job at the Untours Foundation and, you know, through these other businesses and through the Be Local board. There are just so many incredible human beings doing incredible work around the world. And I wish that I could talk about all of them to everybody, because I think if people saw how many truly good-hearted people are making it their life mission to make things better, how can you not be optimistic about that? I mean, entrepreneurs literally all over the world. We have investees in South America, Australia, Sub-Saharan Africa, Asia, Europe, across the United States, all of them with such unique business models. There's this great company in Costa Rica that they upcycle retired Southwest Airlines seats. They use the leather of these airplane seats to create beautiful products. And they do it by employing women in rural Costa Rica to give them fair wage jobs and provide supports, including counseling, to make these beautiful products. Like, what an incredible way to create a circular economy, to have positive social and environmental and economic impact. And they're now welcoming tour groups to show them how that all works together. I mean, like, that's just one example. We have over 40 companies in our Reset Tourism portfolio alone that are using tourism as a model for good. So you meet with folks like that and you feel their energy and their innate desire to be of service to other people. And it's hard not to be optimistic.
Yeah, I think you just make a great point. When you actually get out here and engage and find out what's going on. I just interviewed Andrew Byros and Jesse Langley and Ramaya Mabry, who just came out of the social entrepreneur program, internship program that Conscious Capitalism and USD are doing together. And my takeaway was meeting these students. I mean, unbelievable. Just unbelievable, right? It's like, so you can cast, oh, here's all the younger generation and somehow whatever. And then you meet them and you go, oh my goodness. So yeah, getting out and meeting the people and seeing the energy, the excitement and what's going on in the world and not just watching the news and thinking the whole thing's crumbling apart. Yeah,
right. The world has a lot of challenges, obviously.
Yeah.
The world is hurting. The earth is hurting. The world's people are hurting. But again, I feel like the balance is still that there are more people trying to do something about those problems. So yeah, I totally agree on that.
All right. We got to put a bow on this.
All right.
One final question.
Yeah.
What's the one big idea? The one thing you want people to walk away with out of all of this, everything you got going on, Sarah?
Yeah. What's hitting me now? I don't know if I intended to say this, but I think it's for anyone listening to just have an open heart and to be willing to see the best in people. Right. I think assuming that people are good and that there are good things happening and that things are going to be okay. It's so easy to get caught up in the doom and gloom. I'm guilty of it myself. But again, I really think we can take heart in all of the good people that are trying to make the world more meaningful for all of us. And with that, I think it's so important to get involved in a local community. I'm so grateful that I have become involved with the Be Local San Diego board. because I work remotely and it's wonderful to, in this place that I now call my home, have people that are, we're all rowing in the same direction and they inspire me and I can be part of that. So finding your community, finding your people, it makes it that much easier to, when the world feels dark and heavy, to see all of the light, to feel all of the light from people. So I hope that's a word of encouragement.
Oh, it's excellent. Yeah. A call to action.
Yes.
Get off the couch and go out and find some people who are doing some good work, yes, and you might get inspired, right?
Absolutely.
So let's go do that because they exist. Be Local is a place you can do that. So, yes. Well, I want to thank you for coming in today and for all the amazing work you're doing. And yeah, amazing. So have some fun in London, have some fun in Thailand. We'll have to talk about Ghana and Worcester. I just saw that in your background.
Yeah.
I've spent some time in both of those places.
Amazing.
So, yeah.
Small, it's a conversation.
It's a small world.
Yeah, it is.
Well, that's our show for today. And if you enjoyed it, please subscribe, comment, and most importantly, share the podcast with a friend. Again, special thanks to our collaborative community of San Diego business organizations, the Better Business Bureau, Conscious Capitalism, Be Local, and Cause San Diego. We're all using the influence of business to positively impact our very own community of San Diego. I'm Jeff Blanton from Jailbreak Leadership saying, till next time, go do what you do. Go do what you do best, for we're all counting on you.